Bless us with your word. Bless us with your anointing. Bless us with the power of your spirit. And show us, Lord, what we need to hear. And I also pray for anyone listening by CD or on the internet. And I ask that you bless them, that there's no time or distance in God, that you are there, you are here now, and you are there then with them too. And we thank you now for your peace and your power and your love to flow through this recording, to flow through my words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing for removing addiction is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, many of you in this room have probably done that at one time or another. But it doesn't do any good to receive Christ and then stay in an ignorant state for years to come after that. You have to be discipled by men of God. You have to grow up in God. You have to become a disciple. And in John 3, you don't have to turn to this one, because I'm just throwing this in on the side, but I want you all to be clear that Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says again in John 3, verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you can't see God's kingdom, and you cannot understand it, and you cannot even enter the kingdom of God unless you receive Christ as Savior. And receiving Christ is just surrendering your will, asking His forgiveness for your past, and walking with Him from then on, and believing by faith that He is with you and He is in your heart. And here's the secret of that. You no longer have to overcome the addiction. He does. Jesus has to overcome it now. And He's all powerful. It's a co-labored effort now. He's the senior partner of a partnership where you're just the junior partner. You know, He says, come to me, all of you that are heavy laden, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what a yoke is? Of oxen, there's a thing on two oxen's neck, and an oxen pulls, and the one next to it, they always put a little one next to a big one. Did you ever know that about cattle or oxen or horses? And Jesus wants to be the big oxen in the yoke with you, pulling you forward. And Jesus is a deliverer. And now, listen, and before I finish this teaching, we're going to all together say the prayer to receive Christ. We do this every Bible study. We just all say it together, okay? And many of us already have, but we say it for the ones that would like to say it. Okay, why don't we all turn together to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. See, whether you're addicted to drugs, alcohol, prescription drugs, sugar, coffee, cigarettes, you can get free from everything. You can be free from everything. I didn't think I could ever get off coffee, but I'm off of it. I'm not telling you, you have to do that right now. But I'm just telling you, God got me off of coffee after 35 years. It really feels good. It feels good. Water tastes real good to me. The Bible doesn't call... I don't think the word addiction is in the Bible. The word is bondage. People get in bondage. And the truth is, they're not in bondage to the substance. They're in bondage to Satan. They're in bondage to the satanic nature that's inside, that takes something that is inanimate, like alcohol or drugs or money or porn. You know, these are not living objects that people get addicted to. It's the person's evil nature inside that makes them become addicted. Money's not evil. Alcohol is not evil by itself. It's the human element that makes the substance evil. It's the element, the human element. It's what you contribute to it. You're the problem. Your mind is a problem. Your soul is a problem. Your heart is a problem. But you're... and really, what I would say to you is getting off of a substance is not hard if you replace it with something from God. Which in this particular instance, what I'm talking about is Christianity, Jesus Christ in your heart, walking with Christ. Yes. In other words, watch this. Watch this. We cannot turn on dark to make these lights leave. You can only turn on these lights to make dark leave. See, dark light scatters darkness, but darkness scatters nothing, because light is more powerful than darkness. And so that's the way it is. It with getting over an addiction is the Word of God comes in and it overtakes every evil in your life. And then addictions are supposed to leave you effortlessly. Am I right, Adam?
Yes.
Without effort. You went to 10 years of AA. You struggled through 12 steps over and over and over, right?
Yes.
But with Jesus and walking according to these principles I'm teaching here, effortlessly.
Yeah, and become righteous.
In fact, I'm going to tell you why it happens effortlessly. Most of you have received Christ at one time or another. He saved you. He made you born again. That was effortless. You didn't work for it. He didn't make you do push-ups. He didn't make you dig a hole. He just said, here, give me what you have, and I'll give you what I have. And all you had to give was your sin. God got the worst part of the deal. He gave you His love and grace, and He got your sin, and He wiped it out. And that's how effortless being born again is. Well, when you come to God with an addiction, it's just as effortless. It's like, I receive Your grace and love here, Lord, for help with this. And I believe right now that I am free. And by faith, you accept it. It's real simple. Now, faith comes by hearing. That's why you're sitting here. That's why we're making a recording here. Is because I'll give you guys copies of this recording too. And then you can re-listen to it and re-listen to it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you get faith, you can overcome with faith. Faith is effortless, by the way. Because faith doesn't come from your mind, it comes from your heart. Faith flows out of your heart. It doesn't come from your mind. Okay, is everybody at Exodus 3? I'm going to read it. Verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to the Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for this place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with them with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, out, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, and by the way, if you just walked in, we're in Exodus 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. Where you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" That's where God reveals his name, I am. Now, this is the Old Testament. Everything that happened in the Old Testament, God orchestrated it for a purpose, to teach us something. Guys in the Old Testament lived their whole lives to give us a symbol that we could draw a current truth off of. Does everybody see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Moses was patterned like Christ. He was a deliverer. Moses was a symbol of Christ in this story. Egypt is a symbol of the world, which is a fallen, sinful world. Pharaoh is a symbol of Satan. The promised land where God wants to take them is a symbol of the blessed Christian life. And you cannot have your blessed Christian life unless you kick out the Canaanites and the Perizzites, Perizzites, and the Jebusites. And so what happens is this whole scenario is set up to teach us that Moses is a deliverer just like Christ. And the children of Israel is like us. And God sends Jesus, the deliverer, to you. Now remember, it says that the children of Israel have taskmasters. In another part of the Bible, it says they're in cruel bondage. They are in huge bondage there. They have no choice. They can't get out of it. There's soldiers guarding them as they work all day. Remember the movie? They stand in the mud and stomp straw into the mud, you know, the Ten Commandments. And they move these hard, big stones up hills to build these pyramids. And they work like dogs, and their life expectancy is short. And they're crying out to God, "Free us, free us." Doesn't this sound familiar?
Yes.
You're crying out to God, I want to be free of this addiction. It's a bondage. And Satan is the one keeping people in these bondages. And that's like Pharaoh and the Egyptians being cruel. And it's like, no, you're not getting out of here. Because the moment you think you're free, I'm going to tempt you back in here. And you need a deliverer. And the deliverer, your prescribed deliverer from Father God is Jesus Christ. And he's like Moses. And do you notice that Moses came working miracles? Moses did the 10 plagues. And Jesus came to prove who he was, working miracles. And, you know, I'm knowing a lot of guys and gals right now that have gotten over addictions. Lots of them. Through Jesus Christ. I could bring in a whole bunch to talk to you in one time right here. And what I'm telling you is that they will tell you that it was hopeless. We're talking about meth when we were up there. And there was a guy speaking, and he's talking about how he was on meth. And we said, well, what's the recovery rate for meth? And it's 12%. It's 12%. It's bad. That's an evil drug. And it's like, but we had three or four, in 20-some men, we had like three or four guys all off meth by Jesus Christ. And Jesus' results? 100%. That's if you use him, if you let him work in your life. I believe that Jesus is 100%. Because I believe that, I'm seeing results. And the guys that do accept that and believe it, they see results. But don't believe me. I'm going to show you the Word of God here. If you go to Hebrews 2, I'm going to give you a big key. Hebrews 2. And just for you, though, just walked in. I'm recording this. And so let's hold questions till the end. And then what I'll do, if you can still remember the question, I'll try to walk over towards you so you can be on the tape, on the recording too. Hebrews 2. It's the New Testament. Hebrews is towards the end of the New Testament. It's towards the end after Philippians and Colossians. It's after Timothy and Titus, Thessalonians. And then Hebrews right after Titus. We're in Hebrews 2. I'm going to start reading two verses, 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This is talking about Jesus, and it says Jesus partook of flesh and blood, and he shared in the same with us as flesh and blood. Jesus was flesh and blood. He shared with us that fact. And then it says, through his death, through the death of Jesus, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. What a revelation. Everybody in the religious Christian world will tell you, God will kill you, watch out. God took your mother away. God took your father away. God said, thou shalt not kill. God's not a killer. The hurricane comes, insurance company says, oh, act of God, 40 people killed in a cyclone. Oh, act of God. You know what? There were cyclones and lightning when Satan killed Job's kids and his livestock, he used cyclones and lightning. When the storm was trying to blow the disciples away on that lake, they woke Jesus up and they said, Master, help us. Don't you care that we perish? Jesus stood up and he put his finger out. He says, peace be still. It says he rebuked the wind and the sea. Do you think he's rebuking his father? He wouldn't rebuke his father. He's rebuking Satan. Jesus was rebuking Satan. So don't get your theology backwards. Satan has the power of death. It's like, oh, God gave me a disease to teach me something. Well, wait. Then God's Typhoid Mary. He's going around giving people diseases. Don't you have to have a disease to give it to somebody? Do you know that a disease couldn't come within a light year of God? But what, it would be destroyed, you know? But Satan, I think he's got every disease in the book, and so do his demons, okay? So you need to understand, it says that Jesus, through his death, destroyed him who has the power of death. Now this next verse 15 is a huge key. You need to see this. You need to see this key. And he released those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's a fear of death that causes people to stay in their addictions. It's a fear of death. Now, it may not be the kind of fear of death, being afraid to go in a casket in the ground. I'm not talking about that kind of fear of death. When a baby is being nursed and it's hungry and it feels this gnawing pain, it'll cry with a fear. A great fear of loss. And the hungrier it gets, the worse it cries, like somebody's killing it, you know? And virtually, the longer you withhold the food from it, you are killing it, right? And the baby cries out with the fear of death. And I'm telling you that you can trace every bondage to man back to some kind of fear. I know a guy with a lot of money. Okay? He's got over $1 million in the bank. You know what? He walks around turning off his light switches. He turns his ketchup bottles over like that just to get the last little ounce. It does it with his shampoo bottles. I mean, he's in great fear. You got to see the things he says and does, and he's in fear. And it's like he's got this fear of death. But it's not dying, it's the fear of the death of his bank account and his finances. And because of this fear of death of his bank account, he's got this bondage that makes him stress and be OC, you know, obsessive compulsive about expenses and stuff. Well, you can trace, when you go out, let's say you get out of here and you say, I'm not drinking, I'm not going to drink. But you're walking along, you feel funny. It's like, oh, I need a drink. I need a drink. And it's like, I better get a drink. I gotta have a drink. What's motivating you is the fear of death. That it may not be you. It isn't that you think you're going to die if you don't get that drink. What it means is that your good feelings that you're having right now, you're going to lose them if you don't get that drink in you. But the Bible says God loves us and His perfect love casts out all fear. God loves us and His perfect love casts out all fear. How many times should I repeat that so that we could get that in our minds and our hearts? God loves us and His perfect love casts out all fear. And when you release fear, then you don't have fear of death. And when you don't have fear of death, then you can face the substance for what it really is. Just something there to kill you. Something you don't need. Something that Satan wants you to take. Not something God wants you to have. Did you know that you can't disappoint God by drinking or taking drugs or anything? He doesn't have a law against doing that. He doesn't have a law against it. I mean, he says don't get drunk on wine. But it's like he doesn't have a thou shalt not drink. Okay? He doesn't have that. There's good people who have a little bit of drink and there's not sinning. But God did say, whatever you sow, that will you also reap. So when you start sowing in your life excesses, you have to reap the consequences, which is death. Because when sin, when it conceives, brings forth death in every person that uses it. I have to move on from here, but what I want you to get from this is don't be in the fear of death. Pray about that and ask God. You know, you've seen the T-shirt that says "No fear," right? Pray about that. That should be the way Christians are. We fear nothing. We fear nothing. There's nothing to fear as a Christian. The worst thing Satan can do to you is send you to your eternal reward. He has the power of death that says, but he doesn't even have that over me. I'm not going to easily lay down my life for Satan. I'm going to use my faith to live longer. I'm going to use my faith to have wisdom and be healthy. And even if I have to walk through a dangerous part of town, I'm going to use my faith doing that. And I'm not going to fear. You see? And he is going to easily take my life. And you need to think the same way as I'm thinking. Through faith, you can have what you say. You can have what you're believing for.